And welcome in the latest installment of Pucks with Bernie and Panger. And this week, it's Darren Pang talking Blues hockey and NHL hockey with us. Brought to you by Greenville University, Marie DeVille Senior Living, and Triad Bank. And let's open it up with Darren Pang. What happened on Monday against the Avalanche? This is why God invented gambling, although I'm not sure he did. You just never know in sports. The Blues winless in four games. Colorado 7-0-1. How do you explain it?
I guess you have to believe that the team that's won the Stanley Cup and has been through it will finally find their game and measure their game against the hottest team in the NHL. I mean, let's face it, Marty, every team comes in to face the St. Louis Blues, and they gauge their team and how they are against the Blues, and that's why everybody's going to bring their best against them. Every coach has said it after every game. And now it was time for the Blues to look around and say, you know what, we haven't been the best team, but we are playing the best team tonight, so we better show up, play with a lot of pride, play the way we normally play, and set the tone. So I think that's why. So if you're betting on the game, maybe you look at those intangibles and trust the fact that a team that has won it and been through it can pull it off.
We heard about a players-only meeting on Sunday. How often throughout the course of a season does that take place?
49,000 times.
Really?
It's not going well. You know, I mean, last year this team was so tired of team meetings and so tired of having the leadership group put together and, you know, try to find some answers and try to look everybody in the eye and try to check egos at the door. But I do think early in the year, like, there was a situation on the bench in the game against Vancouver where Craig Berube and Vladdy Tarasenko, Craig wasn't happy with two turnovers in their own zone, one by Schwartz and one by Tarasenko. And it was heated on that bench. I mean, it was hot. And shortly after that, you know, Berube took a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty or a bench minor, and it put the Blues in a bad spot, and they gave up not a power play goal, but it ended up being just at the time that the power play expired. And you know, the next game against Montreal, I noticed that it was a little bit more quiet on that bench, and I think that's what you're going to go through like this year. Like, you're expecting everything to be what it was last year at the end, but you can't replicate that. That was a magical run, but you can replicate effort. And so that's why I think the players as a group had to sit back together and say, okay, let's figure this out here. We can do it on our own too. We don't need a coach, you know, yelling at us every time. We got to figure this out ourselves and play for one another and be responsible for one another.
You know, because they did win the cup and they did it in such dramatic turnaround fashion where they were the worst team, it's been said so many times now in January. But I think as fans and media, if they have an early hiccup or they're not playing well, we sort of say, they'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But I don't think Berube would look at it the same way. But do you think there is, maybe collectively around town, like, nobody freaks out right now because, hey, we all know it can turn around?
They don't freak out, but I do believe that honeymoon that you're on, I mean, reality just sets in. I mean, that's just the facts. I mean, you can, anybody that was at that game against Montreal at the end of that game, you know, you're still looking for an effort for me. You know, you're still looking for that something to change the game around so that you're not going to just go away meekly into the night. So, and I think that had a lot to do with what the players were meeting about as well, just the care factor, especially in your own building. But, you know, you get a grace period. Let's face it, everybody does. Washington got it last year. The Pittsburgh Penguins, before that, any team that's won it, you just naturally get a grace period. But eventually, you know, you lace up your skates, you get on the ice, and reality sets in. Hey, I better be ready to play here. Otherwise, we could be quite humiliated or embarrassed during the course of a game, and especially on home ice. You don't want to do that. I mean, your heroes in the town, the last thing you want is to go on home ice and not give it a great effort.
Season's such a long grind. How do teams kind of get into, like, this group? I mean, every team has got a lull and then a high period. How do you get into sort of a, you know, you love golf. We always talk about tempo. Can you have that throughout the course of an 82-game season?
I'm not sure if you can, but I do know this, that, and Monday's game was a good example of it. Mackenzie McEachran comes into the lineup, and he hits everything in sight. You know, Sammy Blais hit everything in sight. I thought Robert Thomas skated well. So what I think is, when you've got a veteran group of players, that, and especially the guys that played major minutes down the stretch in winning the Stanley Cup, I think the young guys have to show some fire. I mean, they've got to have that spark that gets things burning, in my opinion. And if you don't have that, well, you can't ask the older guys to go to the well every single night. So I was happy Monday against Colorado that it wasn't just the big boys, even though Tarasenko had 3 points, and I thought Shen played a good game and Schwartz did as well. Steen moves up the lineup and played real well, but I really like the bottom part of the equation, the McEachern's and the Barbashev's and Sundqvist and you know, that group of players. I think it's imperative that if you want to find that rhythm that you're talking about, that you better have that energy and that passion from the younger players to push the older guys.
And we've seen Vladimir Tarasenko find his scoring touch. I just wonder, a guy of that skill set, how much pressure there is, because some guys can play, and if they don't score, it's not a big deal. But when he doesn't, we all sort of notice, and I think others have pointed out he's just got to shoot more. But do you think he deals, when you're a great goal scorer, do you think you're always feeling the pressure to score, like being a great home run hitter, everybody just waiting for you to do it?
I think there's something to be said about that, or at least being involved in the play. You know, like, all great goal scorers are also great passers of the puck, too. I mean, they make plays, and, you know, I think last night Vladdy showed that part of the game more than anything else, just his ability to see the ice and make plays. And, the pressure comes in a 1-1 game, and you have a couple of power plays, or you have a breakaway, or you have a one-timer, and you miss entirely. And that's when the pressure's on, because you feel like you're letting down your teammates. Like, I see Vladdy when he comes back to the bench, and if he slams the door, I look back at that shift and say, okay, what would cause him to be upset? And quite frankly, a lot of times it's a bad pass. It's a bumbled play. It's a shot that he takes that he misses the net. I mean, a lot of times, you're right, he is putting that pressure just on himself for not performing for the rest of the guys.
Jake Allen gets the start at home, has the tough luck against Montreal with the weird goal, we'll call it that, bad goal. I just wonder a little bit, because obviously Jake's a world-class athlete, is a little bit with him that he's got just some bad luck that seems to follow him around. I know that's not in-depth analysis, but I do feel like every once in a while he's just got some bad luck.
Yeah, on home ice, I think there's, you know, let's face it, it was a bad goal. I've given up a million of them. I know what a bad goal is. There's a pit in your stomach that makes you want to throw up right in the middle of the ice. And, you know, no one has to make apologies for a goaltender when he gives up a goal like that. It's just one of those bad goals, and it took a lot of the life out of the team. But, I mean, I think the saves that he does make in the course of a game, which he made about 7 or 8 just unbelievable saves against Montreal, they seem to be instinctive saves, reactionary saves, a quick breakaway, a quick one-timer. And there's no thinking that goes with the goaltender. There's no getting set. But I think a lot of times, and this is one of the things that Marty Brodeur worked on him with, and that is preparing for a sequence, preparing off a face-off, preparing off the rush and not adjusting your equipment. There's all kinds of little things that go into giving up goals like that. But in going back to the home theory, I mean, let's face it, he doesn't get the same comfort as Binnington does on home ice. Binnington can make an average save and everybody goes crazy for him. They have confidence in him, and they don't have confidence in Jake, you know, on home ice. And I think you can feel that if you're in the net, you know it. And, you know, it's going to be slowly up to Jake to just turn that tide around again and continue with the really good saves and eliminate any of the questionable goals that go against.
Yeah, and as weird as it sounds, he's probably more relaxed when he gets a road start, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's any question. I mean, last year, let's face it, his goals against average and the save percentage, once he got away from here, he was actually, when you look at some of the points that he got for the team last year on the road, everybody forgot about that because Jordan came in and played so great. And that's why we all like to sit back and give Jake the credit that he deserves, because he played in tough buildings. He had 2.24 goals against average. His save percentage was almost 93%. Yeah, those are amazing numbers on the road. But he did. He garnered up some great points for the boys, and I think he does feel more comfortable just getting on the road and being that guy that's in his own setting, and the players rally around him. So I think I'm not sure. I'm not going to speak for him, but I know if I were in that position, and I think at one point I was, if I had my druthers, I would just say, Jordan, you play all the games at home. I'll take the ones on the road, and I think we've got a happy marriage.
We always joke about the 2-goal lead. It did rear its ugly head against the Islanders, against Vancouver. Is that a thing in hockey, that the dreaded 2-goal lead? It does seem to come back and haunt. I mean, every coach would take a 2-goal lead, but it's amazing how often those things melt.
Man, it's the worst lead in hockey. And that's why in the game Monday night against Colorado, even when it was a 2-goal lead, there was a power play for the Blues. They were fumbling the puck in the neutral zone. Vince Dunn had 2 guys around him, and I could hear the bench beside me just screaming at the forwards to get back because, you know, that's kind of one of those plays. You give up a shorthanded goal, now it's a one-goal game. And this is why the two-goal game is not the easiest, because you give up one at home, now you get on your heels, you lack a little confidence, and then the other team can feel it. They sniff it out, and they jump right on you. So they just got to squash that. And I think that the game against Colorado was a good start to that.
We'll come back. A friend of Panger update, also some one-timers for Darren Pang.
Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living, independent living at the Villa Estate, skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run, and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour. Triad Bank, the neighborhood friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64, get to Lindbergh, and you are there. Founded in 2005, wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business, and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, 5-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com. Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community, a great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
We went blue!
Oh, the legendary Brett Hull bringing us back from the break. And we do Friends of Panger. We talked about Wayne Gretzky in our last visit. I thought I'd bring up Doug Armstrong because he's not just the Blues boss, but also somebody that you know well. I've joked. I've said it to his face. I've said it at roast that he's rather intimidating. I think I said he looked a lot like a KGB operative, except that guy's actually friendly. You know Army different than most. Tell us a little more about Army, the guy that we don't see.
I always love that line. Well, I mean, number one, he doesn't have the energy, you know, late at night. I've asked him that as well. We get on a plane or you get on a team bus or whatever, and he gets kind of hunkered down, and it's the end of the night. He just doesn't have that metabolism later in the night to be all energized. And everybody thinks he's always, you know, by that time, if they lost the game, boy, he's not in a very good mood. But I try to explain to them, you know, he's really, it's not the mood part of it. He's just out of gas. He just kind of lays low and watches a movie or he puts his head down and what have you. But I've played a lot of golf with Army and certainly like everybody else, you see the highs and lows and the excitement level. And I saw him I was in a group ahead of him, but I saw him get a hole in one in Cabot Cliffs and Cabot Links, which is in Inverness, Nova Scotia. It's a beautiful place. It was a magnificent hole. They're iconic par three. And I got to tell you, you could hardly tell that he got a hole in one. It's just, he's just not really a high-end emotional guy. He kind of just stays at a pretty level and even keel. But the one thing, he always gives it to me because I talk so much. He'll walk into a group, I'll be talking to a broadcaster, another general manager, another coach or something like that, and he'll go by and he goes, "Would you just shut up?" And everybody thinks he's serious, and he's not serious whatsoever. He's just giving it to me. So I think he's having a lot of fun as the only general manager in the history of the St. Louis Blues to win a Stanley Cup, I'll be honest. If he's not having fun now, then I'll have to I'll have to have a talk to him about that.
Well, he gets off some good lines too. He gets his digs in, I'm sure.
And he does.
And I'll tell you what, if you're the boss, it doesn't hurt if players maybe are a little intimidated by it. It's not the worst thing. It's not the worst rep to have when you're running the show.
No. You can tell the confident guys though when they give him a stinger back just to see where he's at. But they know when to do it and when not to do it. There's always a time and a place, as you know.
This week, trips to Detroit, trips to Boston. Going to be a lot of fun, of course, going back to the Garden, the site of Game 7, and then Detroit. A couple of original six cities. This is, and rarely do we get these back-to-backs, but I would think this would be a fun trip for everybody.
Oh, I think so as well. I mean, that's going to bring back a lot of memories, and I think it's going to bring back a hostile group in Boston. Anybody that was out there for any of the games in the Stanley Cup final, they know what the Boston Bruins fans were like, and it was a tough surrounding. So I imagine just because this is a regular season game, I still feel that there's going to be some leftover resentment on that side of it. So I think this is going to be a great test. I think it's going to be an important one for the Blues too, just to go in there and remember how they played. It's a quick reminder of what price you paid to win it all, and they paid a great price to make sure that champagne was popping in that visitor's room, which, by the way, was absolutely ruined after that. Tiles were coming down. The floor was a mess. It was wonderful sight, full of champagne and beer all over the place.
And I know Joe Louis maybe was the worst for media accommodations. It's unbelievable. I had a press seat, and I'm going through, excuse me, and I realize I'm passing up the radio announcers for both the home and road. I'm like, oh, hey, Curb, sorry about that. Nobody misses that, but I would think that old barn, though, that was still a pretty cool place.
It was. When I first broke into the league and I got called up in 1984, that place was only 4 years old, and I was used to playing in the Montreal Forum in Toronto and Chicago Stadium and Boston Garden, and you know those old, great, quaint places. And Joe Louis was like a hospital of some sort. It was just the clean lines. It smelt new. Nobody really enjoyed playing there. And then as years went on and all those other great buildings were abandoned and new buildings were coming up, it was special going back to the Joe, because now it was the old building and it had some character and it had some championship feelings to it. So now when we go into, when we go to Little Caesars Arena, it is a beautiful, beautiful place. The Ilitch family did a wonderful job, and we always look forward to going there. I know they're struggling, and they will struggle for a couple of years, but Steve Yzerman's going to have that place rolling pretty good. There's another name drop for you. Robert De Niro told me never to do that.
We'll bring up Yzerman one of these weeks. All right, let's tee it up for Panger, the former goalie. Let's test his reaction time with these one-timers. Speaking of road trips, best road city. You can only go to one road trip, one city. Where are you going? For the nightlife and the hockey, give me one.
Going to Montreal.
Can't beat Montreal.
Old Montreal, cobblestone streets, great restaurants, and then into the Bell Center, the new Montreal Forum. There's nothing like it for me.
I've got tickets to a concert. You can only pick one, though. I've got tickets to Neil Young, and I've got tickets to Rush. Where are you going? I went double Canadian on you.
Oh, man. I guess you got to go to Toronto. You know what? You got to go to the middle of the country. You got to see them there. I was going to pick up a little town like Kingston, Ontario, or, I'm from Ottawa, but even something smaller. So,
But you're picking Neil Young over Rush. If you could only go to one concert, it's Neil Young over Rush, even though they're both Canadian?
No question.
No question.
No, it's no question. Sorry. Yeah. No doubt about it. I grew up with Neil Young. I didn't grow up with Rush at all.
Okay. Shootout. You got one player to win the game in the whole league. Who are you taking?
I'll take Nate MacKinnon. I think his hands are just too super slick, and the goaltender can't find the puck on the stick.
All right, true or false, we need Sammy Blais to change that last name to Blaze. Wouldn't that be a better hockey name, Blaze?
Blazer.
That's what they call him, right?
With a Z. I think that's great. That exchanges the name that I've given him, which is Rocket, because he wears number 9 for the Rocket Richard, and he's a Montreal Canadiens fan growing up. But yeah. I'll take the Blazer.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Theismann changed his name from Theismann to Theismann, so it would rhyme with Heisman. I think Sammy Blais, we got to talk to this kid. All right, Mrs. Panger says, we're going out to eat. Where are you guys going?
Katie's Pizza on Manchester. And I'm going to have the black ink squid or whatever it's called, spaghetti.
Great choice. Darren Pang is the commissioner for a day. What are you doing? Putting your feet up on the big desk. What else?
I'm taking away the trapezoid, and I'm going to reverse it. So the goaltender cannot play it behind the net, but he can play it in the corners. Any simple goaltender can go behind the net and stop a puck. but only the exceptional can go out outside and play the puck. I think it caused way more commotion, and I think you get a better forecheck.
And level of surprise, when you'd go down to Mizzou to visit your son, people are like, wait a minute, what's Panger doing in Columbia, Missouri? Did that ever happen?
That happened a lot. He was playing on the hockey team. My daughter went there as well for 4 years and graduated. It took him about 12 years to graduate, so we can't count young Tyler. But my daughter ended up taking care of me. Everywhere we went, she took care of me. If there was a few too many drunk guys and they were all over me, she always saw it. She always had somebody intercept. She pulled me off to another side, and I had the most fun going there. I miss those days of being a dad when your daughter's at Mizzou, because it's a great place.
I got to do a Mizzou road trip with Panger. We need to go to a football game one of these years. I'm putting that on the Martin list.
I had Caesars in my backpack. I had it all set up in the morning. So, yes, you should have been with me. We can do it again, though.
It's Pucks with Bernie and Panger every week here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, brought to you by Greenville University, Marie DeVille Senior Living, and Triad Bank. Panger, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great week.
Looking forward to it, pal. Thanks.